All right, class, we we're gonna train in two areas tonight. We've got three more sections. How many of y'all, this your second year, you graduated? All right, there's some things I have to get into you that you may know about. I even brought my phone out tonight. That you have to know about. And we're gonna try to hit a lot of things. Review, but thing that you're not going to find in a book, all right? And so I want to make sure you have them, because you won't be able to find them anywhere. The apostolic keys to ministry and in ministering the word in a certain way, there are some things you're going to have to know. So we're thankful. You may be seated. The stagnation of power, has to be dealt with in the ministry. Because you can have a lot of scriptures, but write these words down. Access, anointing, authority, atmosphere, then audience. A lot of times people try to move in an audience, they don't have no access, they don't have no anointing, they don't have no authority. They don't have the atmosphere, right? The atmosphere, those who work around you. If you're going to minister, those who work around you have to have your spirit. A service of ministering the word can be quenched. It can be grieved by a person who participating may be in their own area and not connected to the person who's in charge. Yeah. Right. So it's a stagnation, and that stagnated the power of the word. And I've called myself I'm an atmosphere changer. And you're going to have to be, too, if you're going to minister the word, because you run up in all kind of atmosphere. And then that other word, I told you a few words, but the other word we're talking about is accelerating, acceleration in ministry. Ministries are dull. They are slow. Everybody just alike. That's not what God called for us to do. Now, I talk to you about ministers. This is very important. Say very important.
Very important.
Not being able to master their own life has to be dealt with, your own life. If you're going to pursue a progress in ministry, you're going to have to let the word of God master your life. You try to go tell somebody else something, you need to have it, okay? And then there's a suffering in the church for the, I tell you, I'm reviewing some things, you might have these notes, but they're good. The insufficiency of the supernatural. The supernatural, there's an insufficiency of the supernatural. If you read the book of Acts, in the early church, they were marked by the supernatural, okay? And that access, that authority, anointing and atmosphere has something to do with the supernatural. All right? There are three things I told you had to get a grip of. I want to add another one. Wisdom. And all I get in the next one is understanding. Now, I'm in a season now, all I'm praying for is wisdom and understanding. I don't pray for nothing else. I'm in a season, see, because I told you about that scripture in Luke 24:45. When they talk about, Lord, open my understanding that I may understand the scriptures. Understanding is very important. Understanding come before anointing. Understanding come before authority. Okay? Yeah, understanding is very important. And so wisdom is the principal thing, and all I get and get understanding. So wisdom understanding, then you can think about utterance and unction. You know, then 1 John 2:20, it talks about an unction. 1 John 2:27, it talks about an anointing, right? And then Jesus, a message that he opened his ministry up with is Luke 4:18, where he told what his message was supposed to do. He talked about Jesus was operating under wisdom. He's operating under understanding. You know, in Luke 2:40 and Luke 2:52, you'll see why Jesus' ministry was so heavy and why they say never a man speak like this man is because he was under unction. He was under the anointing and the Holy Spirit was helping him in his ministry. So you have that, you have the wisdom, understand, utterance, and unction. And it's so important, I have a note here, it's so important about having godly understanding. Godly understanding. I think of the Ephesians 5:17, I think in Proverbs 3 it said, lean not to your own understanding. Godly understanding, understanding from the Holy Ghost. And Ephesians 1, pray that prayer often. Verse 17 on down, pray that prayer. Put your name in it. That you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him and the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That's so important. I do that all the time. I do that all the time. I never get up here dependent on myself. Yes, sir. And no matter what. Now, I told you what I said first, before you can preach it, you have to understand it yourself. Uh-huh. And see, that understanding is going to give you the power and the unction to preach it, decree it, declare it to somebody else. You must have to be in a position before you preach it, you have received it. Are you listening, Clarence?
Yes.
All right. I don't know how many we got on the internet, but I want y'all to listen carefully tonight because I'm actually telling you some secrets of my ministry. My ministry is real successful. It's not because of me. It's because I'm applying myself.
Yes.
You understand? Applying myself, watching sanctification, watching holiness, not being double-minded or two-faced. What you see is what you get all the time. Crossbow.
Yes,
all right? Okay. All right. And so when you're in a position that you have studied the word enough, you know you have to minister, but you have received it yourself. And at that point, what's going to happen is thing going to step up. That is the thing that's going to step up the power, the manifestation, the utterance, the unction, the unusual preaching. Unusual. You don't want to be no usual. Yeah, everybody can be usual. You have a unique. God made all of us unique. If he called you to minister, there's a uniqueness about you that he wants to use.
Yes,
definitely you're gonna have notes and outlines and all that, but that you, what I preach come through you, not gonna come like I, it can come through your anointing.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, there's a secret, that are some secrets I shared with you about voice, vision, and visitation. Now, those not no small words. You got to be able to hear his voice,
yes,
and you got to be able to let him clarify his vision to you.
Yes,
and then you have to, I think it's a scripture in the Bible say they miss their day of visitation.
Yes.
See, how you miss visitation from God? You wasn't looking for it.
Yes.
You have to look for it all the time.
Yes, sir.
And God visited me in unordinary ways. I mean, you can just be talking to somebody and all of a sudden God visits you. You go to get the mail out of the mailbox. God. But you see, people, they're doing their casual stuff then. See, I don't have that in them days.
Yes, sir.
They're just going to get the mail out of the mailbox. No, I'm not just going to get the mail out of the mailbox. I don't know what's going to happen between me and the mailbox. That's the expectation. That's another word. That's the expectation you got to have all the time. Because God is always talking. And God is always, watch this now, trying to find somebody to promote. He's always looking for somebody to promote. Somebody's going to dedicate their life, going to surrender, going to submit, going to draw nigh to him, going to humble himself, that he can put in more grace. James 4, talking about it 4, 5, 6 times. James 4, 6, 7, 8, and 10 gives keys to how God promotes people. He talks about God give grace to the humble. See. And then James talks about, in studying the book of James, twice, and then sometime hints, Bible hints. See, a lot of times you don't see everything, there's some hints come. And in the hints are the revelation. See, the Holy Ghost will give you a hint. And then you pause and let him unfold it. He's saying, there's something you're not seeing. Now, you're not going to enjoy ministry unless you apply yourself. Didn't you? This is not a 8 to 4 here. It's 24. Sleep it, you eat it, you walk it, drink it, all the time. They're going to be attacked. There are going to be lonely moments, but they're there for a reason. Thank God if you got a family around you. That's important. And sometimes you're lonely around your family. Yeah, it's just a hunger. It's just something going on all the time. So when I talk about hearing the voice of God, class, one of the main keys is personal instruction from God. Personal instruction from God. He will give you personal instruction. And then when I told you about the vision, I said this. Along with the voice, there must be a vision, insight that you can't see, but you know. You must become stronger in what you don't know than what you know. In other words, that's a leaning your whole being over on God at that time. I mean, you know, but you don't know. Yes, sir. So what's between that? T-R-U-S-T. Trust, you see? See, there have to be some vague moments in your step that you don't know what your next step is. Yes, sir. And what happened, what we ruined the whole thing is we feel a step. Before we step, we want it all full out. No, make the step. There are steps you have to make that you don't know what you're making. Does that make any sense? Don't supposed to make sense. You see, we're talking about function. The step of a good man is ordered by the Lord. And I see people be in ministry a long time, and they don't got it. But you can't come to school and don't got it. Not here, because all these instructors are anointed, and you're getting a lot of information. I mean, you got some Harvard University is not giving out as much as we're giving out in here, because we're giving life on the road, life on the road. All right. So insight is so important. Insight from the Holy Ghost is so important. Apostle Paul told us how to minister in fear and trembling. Reverential fear. Trembling, because there's another word you need to hear tonight. Knowing your inadequacies. Yes, sir. That's why he called you. Because you was inadequate. You wasn't up to par. That's why he called you. See? I admire a woman like one of your instructors, the lady instructor got Joanne. Now, Joanne got a high IQ, in case y'all don't know it. She's a real smart woman. But you a person like that, God got to be working with him, because very suddenly can drop that IQ like she dropped it and submit and humble she is. See, a lot of times, high IQ is a curse. If you don't like it. Yeah, but I never had no problem with her. She humble, you know, she's smart, but she depend on God. Yo, you been in our class? You know it. All right. Then we talk about the voice, the vision, and I'm going to roam some tonight, because what I'm doing is I'm talking about apostolic secret for acceleration in ministry. Stagnation and frustration. You have to be able to walk on them. They're going to try to stop you. But don't worry about that. That's part of the game. Amen? So now, along with the vision, this is so important. You cannot miss your visitation. Again, the Lord will visit you. So don't become so busy that you're going to get to that later. What later? What later? What later? What? Later. So now we come to the word priority. Later. God talking. Yeah, now, and you want to talk to that joke across the street, and God telling you, I need to talk to you. You don't talk to him? You don't talk to God? God, take it back. I tell somebody else. He did me that. I lay in the bed. He's talking to me. You need to get up, Leroy. Go right there. I got it. I miss some good sermon like that. When the visitation comes, you got to be ready. Now listen very carefully. If you miss your visitation, guess what? You're on pause again. And in ministry, you don't have time to be on pause. You have to understand the anointing, how to cooperate with the anointing. You have to know when, what to do. Yeah, I preach a little bit Sunday. I cooperate with the anointing. I don't care what nobody says about me. I'm going to do what the anointing says they do. The anointing is so important. I did extensive praying in years and years and years about the anointing. I knew when I saw that the anointing destroyed the yoke and saw things like that and lift the burden, I knew that this is something you have to have. It's word and spirit. It's not just an outline. Men and women must know you have an assistant that is helping you. Then those of you who may be called out for special things, I know these boys are pastoring. Your assignment is so important. I mean, I've seen ministers after ministers made their own assignment. Man set up there, there's him and his wife and his grandchild on Sunday morning. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. If I come here three Sundays, nobody but me and Carolyn here and then nobody else here, I'm closed this sucker down. I'm gone. Well, I mean, ain't no sense me coming back here. Ain't nothing happening. I'm gone. If Lou Dude and all of them stay home and none of these boys show up, I must be missed, gone somewhere. I'm going to get me a job after 47 years. Somebody should show up. But the stagnation come in people leaving from under who they're under with no endorsement.
Right. Yes, sir. Come on, sir.
It may look good for a while, you're all excited. But when you come to yourself, baby, now you done gone too far, you're too ashamed to come back. See, I know a bunch of boys should be back here. You know, and they could be enjoying their life. But You just fight it, man. So when you have an assignment, if you're not for it, if you don't understand government, you don't understand office in the body of Christ, then you'll never, you can't, you have a, you may have an assignment, but you don't have no alignment.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all, I used to drive them old cars. You know something about that, son, them cars? You know, we weren't able to get it lined up. So you couldn't go over 65. And some of them sometimes 50, because they go to jumping. They don't know what side of the road to stay on. They jump, you know. And we ain't know, I ain't know nothing about it. Boy, I ain't know nothing about no getting no car alignment. Or line the wheel up on the road and stay on this side. That's all I knew. But we you know, we didn't have no money or nothing, you know, back in the day. So we just drove them like that.
Yeah.
You know, especially you get a gun and you just drive real slow. So we just going to cool it. You can't go no faster, you know. I drove my wife Ghost here. And, you know, sometimes I get childish. And the guy was in front of me in a truck. He put his window down. He got the truck. He had a one. He could put it down in the back, you know, he'd look. And so I'm running late. So I come out and I attempt him to pass him. And he mashed on. I say he must be out of his mind. Whoosh! It had me a little fun. What? And we said at the red light, he didn't want to look at me. Yeah, boy. I'm human, you know. I just have a little funny with that. So you have to, I want to reiterate this. You have to keep functioning from understanding what the will of God. Now, this type of understanding is not understanding. See, there's a lot of things that God going to tell you to do in his understanding, but your understanding, you don't understand.
Yes, sir.
It's another category of understanding. That understanding, as I said, it has to have trust in it. See, all the pioneering that God had permitted me to do in this area and around the world, because I'm thinking about having a meeting in, I'm thinking about going to the Bahamas. I had my secretary check today on some hotels and room, and I was dealing with something else in the Bahamas, and then saw all of a sudden it come like I need to have a meeting over there. People need to hear what I teach.
Yes, sir.
See. I don't be looking for no crowd. I be looking for a remnant. Who want to hear, because I got my internet and I got the people who travel with me anyway. I don't care where I go. And so I'm looking at it. I don't know just how it's going to work out. If it's of God, it's going to work out. So it's understanding that comes from God. See, that's separated, that emphasizes it, that I think someone in the scripture says, I can't think of the scripture, but it said, pass your understanding. See, when you're getting God understanding, you just pass yours. Yeah, that's scripture, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah, that pass all understanding. Yeah, see, now that's the type of understanding we're talking about. And so let's add another nugget to that. You want to have, and the word is not used enough, but I want you to let this word burn in your soul, fresh. Fresh understanding. Fresh anointing. Fresh revelation. Fresh insight. Fresh wisdom. A fresh word from God. You follow me? Now, what are they going to take? They're going to take prayer for it to be fresh. You're going to take, you can't be playing on golf, messing around. You're going to take prayer. You're going to take time spending time in the presence of the Lord. But I have a note for you, and you need to write this note. I know you know it already. God's presence is so important. And the man is in the presence of the Lord. He finally says, "Sure, the Lord is in this place." Sometimes the Lord is in your presence. You don't even know it. Sometimes the Lord is in the present, in your presence, in the presence of another person. That he's giving you a visitation. That person talking to you had paid close attention. Fresh unction, fresh utterance. Time you don't know quite where you're going to take you. I think I'll share that with you. But you'll see the intensity and the power will grow in grace as you talk. You'll recognize at certain season in your ministry that God is up to something different. You have to learn how to flow with him. Even if he changed the flow in mid-section, just change with him. I've been on both roads. There are times I didn't change. You know, I won't finish my outline. So I went on. So the Holy Ghost just sat down over there and Jesus sat down over there. And I found out about you by myself and I felt so bad after, you know. Over there, that's my early years. I'm not that stupid now, you know. I know the change. I'll drive in there and just keep talking. What do you tell me to talk? And you can't beat trusting the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost. Them boys, Paul and them boys in the book of Acts, they trusted the Holy Ghost. And that's what we got to bring back to preaching, is trusting the Holy Ghost. And John 14:26, you know, they give us something about the Holy Ghost in the 16th chapter of John, different aspect of the Holy Ghost, all right? I want to reiterate that text in Luke 24:45. Now, I've used this text before, but now in this season of my ministry and this apostolic calling and responsibility and pioneering and like help, I'm dealing with help now, you see. That's a pioneering aspect in the church because we've talked about healing and healing and healing and healing. And healing is not God's best. Health is God's best. But if you have never known that health is the best and you can have and keep it, but then you got to change some things. And so the church, you know, she like the worldly folks. She have a tendency, I don't want to change my habit. Well, if you don't want to change, see, the first three things I ask you over here, what you been eating? Yeah. What about your bowel movement? Yeah. Are you willing to change? Yeah. I'm going to use them all the time. Yeah. Use them all the time. And so, let me just pause here to tell you this. The Lord has always healed his children. Yeah. But they left his program. Yeah. And so by doing that, you open the door for the enemy, all right? But that's a subject people don't want to talk about. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about change. They'll talk about healing. Yeah. Right. Yes, sir. Why they don't want to talk about health? Yeah. No, but responsibility. Yeah. He wants everybody else to do everything for us. Right. We don't have no responsibility. That's why we have problems. If you don't practice Luke 24:45, then open their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. You will not even witness in power. What you say will fall to the ground. You will not catch people's attention. Audience will not be available to you. Notice the word audience, attention. I talked to you about that. Now, these apostolic secrets for acceleration in ministry, I say to you, and I want to reiterate it, because Jesus taught by repeating things. You have to recognize and realize and come to the reality of the partnership of the Holy Spirit. You have to come there, recognize. And then I added, you had to recognize and realize, I told you last time, but you got to come to a reality of his partnership, that he's real. Now see, he's up here now.
Yeah, sir.
I have tangible evidence that he's here. I could feel. You call that divine backup. Write that down. Yeah, when you got divine backup, you're packing then. Yeah, you're packing. And if the atmosphere not right, if you stay focused, you can change it.
Yeah.
See, God have, well, how great it is. God have given us the ability to have the ability to invoke his presence.
Yes, sir.
He exalted his word above his name. If you do his word, he's obligated.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yes.
He is obligated to bring to pass what he said to you.
Yes,
he put himself under obligation.
Yes,
I want to do it.
Yes.
Then also we notice that unless the Lord open your eyes, you're going to be blind as a bat. That there in Luke 24:31, they were walking with him and couldn't recognize him. See, that's how people walk with a Bible and don't recognize what they read the scripture, but they're not recognizing the authenticity of the one in whom is speaking to them through the word. The Bible says, "Glass, through patience you possess your soul." And then it talks about in the book Peter that hope is the anchor for your soul. And you, if you don't get that soul anchored, if you don't get that soul in place, your faith don't have nothing to work with. Hope is so important in the scriptures. You like Romans 5:1-5, Hebrews 11:1. Hope, and then all over the Bible, hope. Hope is so important. So to have persistent faith, you're going to have persistent hope. Now, you never heard this, but it's true. Hope come by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Yeah, hope. Faith has nothing to address. If you're not inclined, maybe you're in a storm and you're reading the scripture, you're not inclined to believe you're out of the storm, faith don't have nothing to work with. See, hope tell you, you're out. Then faith come get you out. So hope is so important. I think we should preach more on hope than just preaching on faith. Faith by itself cannot work without hope. So I say to you, one of the secret of ministry and ministry accelerating is operating in persistent hope and persistent faith. Let me add something else to it. With patience.
Yeah.
With patience. Not only with patience, listen children, with passion. See Galatians 5:6 say faith which worketh by love. Then 1 Corinthians 13 tell us you can preach good as you want to preach. You can teach good as you want to teach.
Yes,
but if you're not functioning in love,
yes,
you're disconnected.
Yes.
When you talk about faith, faith and hope, but there's another word I want to put in here called focus. You have to learn how to focus spiritually. You have to learn how to give God your undivided attention. Your mind in your early years may try to go off. Mine didn't. I mean from scratch. I stayed focused. I mean all kinds of stuff would be happening around me. I just give. God give it to me. I stay focused. Let's go back to that word, prioritize, priority, priority, purpose. All those words are important. Passion, persistent, patient. If you do that, this other word I'm about to say, these other two words you don't have to worry about them, power and provision. They'll be there. They'll just be there. Just be there. See, I never, you don't have to focus on power. You don't have to focus on provision.
Yes, sir.
You focus on purpose. For this purpose, the Son of God would manifest. He knew, Jesus knew his job. For this purpose, the Son of God would manifest that he might destroy the work of the devil. He knew his purpose. But he focused on the Father. See. Why ministers, some ministers are successful and the other ones don't seem like they never be nothing. They're not focusing on the purpose. They get out there and get a agenda like we own a job or something. This ain't no regular job. This ain't no job. This is a lifestyle, man. You know what I'm saying? How many of you had, Doc? Had what? You know? I say it to you, and I'll say it tonight with strong emphasis. I think you can clarify it in Luke chapter 1, I think it's 36 and 37. I might be off a little bit, but it's there where it talks about when the angel had brought the message to Mary. Let's see, go to the 37th verse. Let's see what it said. All right, so for with God, let me give you the statement. Stay in the framework of possibilities. It is possible. But this girl did something here that it calls for. He said, for with God, the angel said, she's acting according to how it's going to happen. She ain't had faith. He said, the angel said, for with God, nothing should be impossible. Now, why would she say next? Why would she say it? That is a masterpiece right there. Class, that's a masterpiece statement right there. That's the statement of the anointing. That's a statement of power right there. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid. Now, she don't fully understand in her own sense, her own understanding. But she said, be unto me according to thy word.
Yes,
and the angel departed from her. That's, she said, I don't understand, but you understand. And I'm not going to mess around with my understanding and miss this. So I'm going to submit to you. See, that's the way we miss a lot of stuff. See, we want to put it in our hand and read it. And you know, and God gone. We say, well, great. You go ahead and make it yourself. See, so now you think, you may sit here and think you're not going to need this. But I'm telling you, from seasons and seasons and seasons and seasons of cooking and cooking and cooking in ministry. Yeah. This is not, you're not in your second Sunday school class here. Okay? That's why God wanted to open this school, so you can share God. You know, the old folks used to say this, God can make a way out of no way. A God can make something out of nothing. Well, that's what you said need now. God did this. Darryl was dead as a doornail, and the nail didn't have no head on it. You couldn't swing at it. But because God gave an assignment, I am to align up with what he wanted to do, it brought us around the world. See, you can do the same thing and better. Yeah, but you're going to pay same price. So stay in the framework of possibility. Every moment that you think, or everything that seemed like defeat, It has an equivalent seed in it of success. Don't miss this now, God, dog man. Everything. See, when David saw Goliath, it looked like defeat. But he had the equivalent seed in him of success because he already whooped the bear. He already whooped the bear. He knew he didn't do it. His daddy sent him out there as an errand boy, but God was sending him out there as the victor. That's why it's good to obey. See, if he wouldn't obey his father, he'd never been out there. Then his brothers tried to talk him out of it. Then Saul trying to put his stuff on him. David said, no, I haven't proved this. See, when there's a giant in your life, he's there for a purpose.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You know what giants in your life are for? To make you a hero.
Yes, sir.
Took him out.
Yeah.
Me and God took him out.
Yeah.
Me and God took them out if it was a group.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. See? So if you read your Bible carefully in James 1, he said, count it all joy when you fall in various trials, tests, and temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith works patience.
Yeah.
Let patience have a perfect work.
Yes,
now you need some wisdom.
Yes, sir.
Now you need your faith.
Yes, sir.
Because see, if you double-minded, if God is a giant Saturday and a midget Sunday, or God a giant in November and a midget in March, you double-minded. That's what you're faith for. Just because things not going right, God got smaller. God get bigger when things not going right. See, you stay focused. God will keep him in perfect peace. My, it stayed on thee. And then he said, trust me. See. You're not going to have no spirit trouble. You're going to have soul trouble.
Yes, sir.
And that's a keen word to the body of Christ. You're not having spirit trouble. You're having a soul problem. Your soul is like I told you, we go out on the RV and there's a thing called a transfer switch. In other words, don't let me lose you now. You're running on generator power. When you're traveling down the road, you got a generator on the RV. And when you get to the park, you pull in a slab and they got plug up. When you plug it, that generator, that transfer switch, pulls to transfer that vehicle from generator power to electricity. That transfer switch, your soul is a transfer switch. You got to deal with it because it's transferring. It's actually spirit, soul down to the senses. Because in Hebrews 5, it's amazing. I read the scripture when I was early, a rookie. But in Hebrews 5, he says, at maturity, you can get your senses exercised.
Yes, sir.
That they know evil from good.
Yes, sir.
Just plain common sense.
Yes, sir.
You know, well, no, I don't supposed to do this.
Yes. That's right.
See, that is powerful.
Yes.
So you have your spirit, you have your soul. And you need to train your sense. It's good sense.
Yeah.
Don't matter just because you got a nice pair of shoes on.
Yeah.
That might, you might have spent it last to get the shoes talking that trash to you, you know. Yeah. Find out where you work at, boy.
Yeah.
How long you been on the job?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Call and check, do we work there? See, y'all don't think about that. Y'all in love. All right. I said, and I, all these years of pastoring, in my younger years, or my early years, because I'm still young, in my early years, I would somewhat become a part of the problem. Because you act up, I'd act up too. And I'll get crazy in the service. Then I go home and take a whooping because God said, well, you shouldn't have said all that. But, you know, I was learning, you know. I'm still a little jumpy, you know. You got to watch it. But we keep order like that, you know. But I've learned more. But don't be a part of the problem. In other words, never come to the pulpit and tell people your problem. You can have 15 problems, but Never ask for prayer. Pray for yourself. Get to the point where you trust God. That ain't selfish. It's just that's an act of maturity. If God gonna answer y'all five, he can answer me just like that. And then, you know, sad to say, some people pray for you, don't want them to pray. I've saw people almost killed with prayer. Yeah, now thank God we got professional prayers now. I mean, God, I mean, when I say professional, they're professing Christ and they're doing it the right way. I compliment my girls the other day. I told them a lot of apostolic revelation is coming. Stay on the wall. And then God blessed them. Yeah, I told them, receive the reward, they're blessed. Now, you've been told this, but along with all of this acceleration we're dealing with here in the ministry, and I'm trying to tell you how I did it. Now, I have a track record. You know, I have a track record in every aspect of my life. See, I'm not hidden. I'm out in the open. God did it. But he didn't do it by himself.
Right.
See, Joshua 1:8 tell you God don't do things by himself. Psalm 1 tell you God has to have you cooperating with him for him to produce something in your life. Now you can fake something, you call that a hybrid. It's cross, it's not real pure. Or it's synthetic, it's not organic. You can look like you're doing all that, but I mean the real thing. The real production, the real thing. Something God made. See, I think the word hybrid. Am I saying it right, Jesse?
Hybrid,
yeah. That's something been crossed. That's why, see, grape without seed is not real. Anything that don't have a seed in it is not real. They've concocted some way to get that thing to come because the Bible says every herb with bad seed. You eat that, you're eating the wrong thing.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Seedless grape. Yeah. You're too lazy to spit the seed out. Swallow the seed, it ain't going to hurt you, but get something with some seed in it.
Right.
Yes, sir. That's the old little secret.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Crossbreed, that's what it is. Now, your prayer time. I have for years been praying over owl, but sometimes you may not be able to make owl. I understand it. And you have to follow the Holy Ghost. Because your much saying ain't going to move God. And your watch not going to move God. You understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, Larry Lee was out there doing that time. He praying that 1 hour. So we got on that hour. And then Jesus said, couldn't not you watch 1 hour? But I don't believe he was designating an hour of prayer. Now, I pray. I pray all the time. I learned that from Smith Wigglesworth. You know, I'd be in the car, and I'd just pray in tongue 5 or 10 minutes, get in the presence of God, and stay in the presence of God all the time. It's important. But then understand this. With every ounce of hope you have in you, there's no substitute for prayer. Hard study, praise, you know, in commentaries. This position called for communication with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Ghost. It produces an item called confidence. Hebrews 4:16, you know what it say, right? You know what Hebrews 4:16 said? Y'all gonna drop your head. Hebrew 4:16. Yeah, y'all got to put up Hebrew 4:16 so they'll know what it says. That's a powerful voice there. See. You definitely want mercy and grace following you all the time.
Yes, sir.
You want to operate in mercy and grace all the time. Powerful. No season out for mercy. No season out for grace. It always in. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Mercy is not giving you what you do deserve. Grace is giving you what you don't deserve. I think that's a pretty good definition. So we need both of them. And I'll make this whole statement again. Project faith in every situation. Partake of the vision at all times. Now this is strong what I'm about to say at the end, because the body of Christ is one, but sometimes you have to separate yourself from others. So project your faith in every situation, partake of the vision at all times when others are falling. Now, you don't really know you connected until this happened. You talking about, I'm following your pastor, I'm with you, let's go. Yeah, we're going to see how much you can follow, make a statement, I'm going to see you. Be willing to participate when you fully don't understand. It will become clear to you. You see what I'm saying? You have to, I think it's a masterpiece. 2 Chronicles 20:20. That's a masterpiece. That's God endorsing his leadership. And, you know, God said, you know, follow me, you know, you'll be established. But believe in this, your prophet, the person I sent you. See, that's a ministerial robe there. He's talking about your pastor. He's talking about the evangelist, whoever teaching you, training you. Yes. See, you got to believe in them.
That's right, sir. That's right.
We I want to see God for myself. All right? See him. And then what I mentioned earlier, now all of these things, you know, you're not going to find them in no book. Okay? These are some apostolic things I'm setting up for this school, which the Lord told me to do now. You have to know, you might have heard something similar to it, but you have to know, see, promotion always come with passing a test.
Right, right, yes.
Moses had to pass the burning bush test. He had to pass the fallen law test. You got to pass tests, see. And while I'm here, experience and encounters with God, you'll miss him if you're not looking for him.
Yes, sir.
And his name will always be I Am.
Yeah.
Because nothing can cut his name off from being whatever need to be.
Yes, sir.
That's why he can wear the name I Am. Yeah. One of the greatest confessions you can make is get a revelation from God and start saying I Am that. Yeah, because he gives you that privilege because you connected with him in the family. I'm healthy.
Yes.
I'm wealthy.
Yes.
And I'm happy.
Yes.
See? Please don't say what you feel.
Right.
Or don't say what the last four people you talk with talked about. I think there's something called spiritual intelligence. Just be intelligent in the spirit. I'm not talking about intellect. I'm talking about being spiritually intelligent. Know when to leave. Know when to shut up. Know when to say, all right, I see you. Know when to say, well, it's a goodbye. Know when to say, I will see you no more. You're out of my life. I read a book called Necessary Ending. Something when things getting stagnant and people become weight and they don't want to move. They don't want to do nothing different. Girl, you believe all that? Girl, I'm trying to get further up the road. I ain't got time to mess with you. We've been on this mountain long enough. I want you almost anything now. Just try it anyway. I'm just tired. I'm sick and tired of being around you. You ain't growing. You know what I'm saying? So some sign that's necessary in it. You remember I told you, I talked to you about having intimacy with God. And I think when I said Jam 4, 6 through 8, and then the 10th verse, I think it give us an unfolding. Jam 4, 6. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Look at the 7th verse now. Watch the 7th verse. Submit yourself. See, humble yourself. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Now you're ready. Resist the devil. A lot of people trying to resist the devil and have him submit it. So the devil said, you with me? Why you jump on the other side of the line? You knew you with me last night. You with me? Now you talking about resisting me? Me and you partners. There's a lot of people trying that, you know. They're not submitted to God, but oh Lord. And lived in sin 3 hours ago. Watching pornography. See? So you have to develop. Look at the 8th verse. See, there's nothing. Draw nigh to God. It's talking about intimacy. He will draw nigh to you. The average Christian don't draw close to God. The average minister not drawing close to God. You got to get your mind off of things and get your mind on him. I got so much things I don't know where it at, but my mind on him all the time. I just enjoy the thing. You remember I gave Jeremiah 29:13. You remember that? All right, you all look like you never heard it before. The second thing I told you about your identity with Christ. Your identity with Christ, Galatians 2:20-21 and Philippians 3:10. I preached a little bit on that Sunday. I said the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection, and the power of the Holy Spirit all connected together. But your identity. Now, most people, because of not having intimacy with God, they have a identity crisis. You it's possible to go through life never needing a miracle.
Yes, sir.
Because your life has become a miracle. Yes, you're constantly connected to him.
Yes,
so you're not in desperation at any given moment because you're not in an identity crisis. As long as you stay in your identity, it don't matter what comes because you always know there's a resurrection coming. You're sure of yourself. You have confidence. It's 1 John 5:14-15. You're in confidence. You don't have no confidence.
Yes, sir.
You can't go confidence in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Confidence in God. So the miracle, every miracle you read in the Bible, you're going to read somebody with an identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Either they're a sinner, either they have gone astray. See,
yes, sir.
When David got in trouble with a woman, he had an identity crisis. He had to fight to get back.
Yeah.
Somebody died, but he had to fight to get back.
Yeah.
Cause sin has consequences.
Yes, sir.
Don't care how much you confess.
Right. Yes,
understand? God got it like that, so you say, yeah, I could confess it, but I don't want the consequence, so I'll be able to carry myself right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Now, people don't want to hear that.
Lord,
good. Lord, forgive you. Yeah, he forgive you. But there are consequences because a law has been broken. A spiritual law. I'm not talking about Ten Commandments. I say to you, the kingdom of God that is in you is the fountain of life. You see, in Luke 17:21, you see when there is kingdom purpose priority, a pursuit, there always going to be high provision. Remember that. You don't have to go looking for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. And that is let kingdom have a kingdom anointing, as I say it that way. Now, we talked about the supernatural a few minutes ago, and I emphasized that from this school and from you as students, y'all listening on the internet, increasing activity in the supernatural realm. We talked about that. But I want to emphasize, I might come back next session teaching about the same thing, going over the same thing. Yes, increasing, because it should never come out the same. Increasing activity in the supernatural realm is on you. And so, what scripture? Ephesians 1, 18 through 21, or 17 through 21. That's how you increase. See, that the God our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit. Look what we got to give you. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, I remember meditating. I'll show you one of the things that the Lord showed me 2 days ago. He says, what an explosive moment when the spirit of wisdom there in that verse and 2 Corinthians 4:13 get together. Who knows what 2 Corinthians 4:13 said? All right, Ron. Got one person. Two, three. Y'all don't know what it said? Turn it over there. Turn it over there. Didn't I taught you the six aspects of faith? I didn't tell you that. When I was in class, see, I talked to so many people. I didn't tell you about the six aspects of faith. Now, y'all look dull. Y'all like, so let's get this one. Well, when the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of faith come together, that's an explosion going to happen. This thing I pull is Mark 11:22, faith. Have faith in God. I might not say them in order because I hadn't. 2 Corinthians 2:20 faith is the life we now live. We live by the faith. The life we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith, Son of God. This third one, 2 Corinthians 4:13, was the faith of the Spirit. Then you have apostolic faith. You have your faith. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I don't know how many I got now. Well, one more I'm going to give you. How many? I'm going to give you five already. How many you got? Five. And this last one is in the gift of the Spirit, you got a faith called special faith. Now you pull all them together because what I find out in training, a lot of times people miss out not understanding how the volume of faith become when you recognize I'm living the life that I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Over in Habakkuk, he said that Jesus should live by his faith. See. So what I'm saying is, if you don't understand that, your faith actually is rape. And you just believe by all the words you got in you, so then faith come out here, but you got all of this volume of faith. You ain't gonna find that in no book. See, you got all this volume of faith. When one of my sons was aiming to pay his church off, he never thought about it, but after he hanging around me enough, and he thought about it, and then he started working with his people about doing it. They did it. But he said one time, he let the enemy know, said, I'm not here by myself. Apostle here with me. Apostle, I'm not nowhere around physically. He said, but the apostle faith here with me.
Yeah.
See. The other word I've been missing in this thing that I should emphasize, connection. Connection is so important. You know, Elisha ministry took all because he respect Elijah so much. I often like to tell this story when a bunch of business people got together and they're trying to find somebody with a word from God. One man stood up in the meeting and said, I know a man poured water on Elijah's hand. What? You know what he's saying? He got that close and stayed that close that long. He got something called for him. He wasn't lying, dude. He had it. Because he had a double portion of it. Connection is so important. Sowing and staying close. That's all I did. I sold my father. I sold and stayed close. Had thousands graduated from the school. Nobody got his anointing like I have. Some of them was just trying to stay close. Someone was trying to soul a bit and not stay close. You got to know you got to have the combination of the two. Wow. Don't let the booger man bite you. You know, I tell you, that's just a man. No, it's not just a man. What? What? Don't let that concept even hit your mind. When you see the life of God moving through somebody, don't be stupid. You know, sometimes I wonder, and you know, I hear people, where they went.
Yeah, right, right.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yes, sir. Where they went, baby? Where they go? Where that boy went? I talked to you about the boy today. Where he went?
Yeah.
He go to a Baptist church.
Yeah.
He ain't gonna get what he was giving him.
Right.
So it must be they wasn't listening.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I see some people leave and go set up some churches. I ain't gonna call their name.
Yeah.
What?
Right.
Right. These little spaghetti something that they're getting. Yeah. Now listen to them every now and then. I say, let me listen. Absolutely. How in the world can you detour in the spirit like that?
Right. Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
What a detour in the spirit, boy.
Yeah.
Man. My God, I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
So increase in activity. And don't forget, you all, don't be fighting all your battles down here. I told you about that Hebrew 12.
Yes,
huh? Yes, yeah. You're always invited in the courts of heaven to receive unstoppable verdicts, decisions, and judgment. No matter what the court down here say, they can't stop you. Powerful, man. Let me go a few more minutes. 2 Peter 1:10. 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And he talks about, you know, the divine nature, divine power, exceeding great and precious promises. But I made a note of this in apostolic acceleration in ministry, installing truth in your assignment that creates a structure that cannot fail. Now that's the wind gonna blow, the rain gonna come, you know. But that's in Matthew chapter 7, the latter part, 24th verse. Talking about them two houses, you see. Now, when, and listen now. When Ezekiel was taken into the valley of dry bones, which was the scriptures preparing me for apostolic, I didn't know when I preached it. And when the question, the bone was very dry, when the question was asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? He answered right.
Yes.
He said, Lord, thou knowest.
Yes.
Then the Lord gave him instruction. The Lord told him, prophesy to those bones. Now, when those bones stood up, they wasn't alive.
Yes.
Now, listen to what he said to him next. He read it sometime. Prophesy to the four winds.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes,
sir. East wind, west wind. North wind, south wind. All four of those winds are significant. I mean, you can say I'm calling on the west wind. The west wind blow barriers out of your life that keep you from moving forward. It's in there. They got scripture for it. I may teach you that on our next meeting. Then the east wind, I think it's the wind of mercy and grace. I don't hold me to that because I've been studying a while. There's another wind that produced harvest and provision. And he got biblical scriptures because when Paul was out there, that the wind blew him into place, you see. And you need the winds of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Again, ministry is based on the supernatural. There's nothing natural about ministry. It's based on the supernatural. So you need to have intense awareness of how to be a master of the supernatural. I probably had to put some of this stuff in a book, you know, and so ministers can get their hand on it. Or I might just keep it for this school. Ephesians 1:4, Ephesians 1:11. You see what it says? And Ephesians 1:4. Then Ephesians 1:11. Intense awareness of how to be a master of the supernatural life. That's in not, all right, class, listen, that's not only a connection, but that's cooperation. Another word should be used here is conviction. Yeah, conviction. Proverbs 13:1. Let me see that verse, Proverbs 13:1. Father made a statement. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner hears not rebuke. See, instruction and rebuke go together sometimes. See, that's the information I got from the apostle, from your leader, that accelerated levels in every direction. See, you got to be, take heed to yourself. Acts 20:28. All the flock, which the Holy Ghost made you oversee and feed the church of God when you purchased with his own blood. Because sometimes wolves come in the midst, dressed in sheep clothing. So you got to deal with it. I let that young lady come back to church. You heard? I let her come back. She called herself sneaking here with a cap on. I saw her, but I had mercy. The Lord had mercy on her. I said, you can keep coming, but don't mess up. You know. I said, I see you. I said, my man just asked me to put you out, whether to put you out or not, but I'm going to let you stay. Now, if you see me sitting, I scan this congregation. You watch me. When I sit there, I'll look back there and I'll look. I go all the way over here. Then I look on that screen. I've been looking for I came out here, you know. I got these guys, these cameramen, they got to span this audience before I come out here. I pretty well know who out here before I come out here. I know where they're sitting, and I know where the folk is at. Yes, sir. Word to the wise is sufficient. Yes, sir. Get you some camera. Yes, sir. Don't be sitting in that blind office. Yeah. You know, no one's going. I go to church sometimes, and I can't see nothing. 1 Peter 4:8. What time all this started? I started at 6:50, about 7:50. What? It's 3 minutes after 8, man. What? Hallelujah. What? I get it going, man. I don't know what time it is, you know. Shoot, that's enough. Hallelujah. This is my last time seeing y'all. Jesus Christ. Y'all be blessed. I'm basically going to be reviewing a lot of stuff. So I'm not going to tell you. Just go over that and look at those scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
I think we got two more sessions together. Yeah, I think we got two more sessions. Graduation in what? What? May? How many of y'all graduating? I think you're graduating. Oh, y'all doing all right.